Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Odoo commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 9:40 a.m. This is Pacific Summer Time. Today is August 16th, and last night we had news that China is going to send a delegation to China or to the USA to talk about talks with regard to opening them up about talking about trade again. So talks about talks. That has certainly been a factor in Wall Street bouncing in here today. The Dow Jones up almost 400 points, and then the Dow Jones has also got a weighting of industrials that have been troubled by the fact that they are among the companies that export the most to China. So the Dow Jones has been both the index that accelerated most when we look at the performance last year. It was led higher by Boeing, for example, and Caterpillar. And of course, both of those companies do rather a lot of business with China. Boeing, for example, has been largely range-bound since the end of February. That's allowed it to unwind its overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and now it is demonstrating support in that area. But Caterpillar, obviously, is highly dependent on the mining sector, and it has had a larger pullback, but well off the lows in here today, so that's rather encouraging, at least in the short term. But we can also, I think, very clearly draw the conclusion that Caterpillar has experienced a much deeper loss of uptrend consistency than Boeing has. But nonetheless, if we do get a return to the table and even the potential for some resolution of the opposition that China has to making concessions to the USA's demands, then there is the potential here that Caterpillar could do better. Soybeans was among the commodities that was most acutely affected by the prospect of trade tensions, and it was up in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today. When we look at this on a weekly basis, I really should look at this on a continuation chart, but soybeans have been pulling back rather sharply. They're right in the region of the lows from 2008. That's been an area of support on multiple occasions over the last decade, so a reversionary move back up towards the trend mean, I think, is perhaps more likely than not. Quite whether it can then muster the wherewithal to sustain a move above it, well, I think that's going to be a question for perhaps the next month or two. Copper prices have been the hard edge of where trade tensions have really focused, and amid speculation that the Chinese economy is slowing down. And they were off the lows in here today as they came right down to test the $2.50 area, and not up in a particularly dynamic manner. So when we look at what's going on Wall Street, well, earnings by, for example, Walmart coming in better than we've seen in a decade have certainly helped to stoke investor interest in the US economy. But when we look at the copper price, well, that was an awfully big dynamic move that we had yesterday, and this does look like some steadying, but it's not particularly convincing. This is not the kind of move that would demonstrate very clear short covering. So it is probably going to require more. And it was a pretty similar story when we look at the Chinese market. It was up in early trading on the news that they were sending delegates to the USA, but it wasn't able to hold the advance. And that really is where we, I think, need to pay close attention to that. The Chinese market has got some additional headwinds. They've been issuing, and until recently, because they banned the issuance of US dollar debt, but they issued in the order of $450 billion of US dollar denominated debt over the course of the last 3 years. Now, they've put the brakes on that. That was one of the ways that the regional banks were trying to source funds when they were being cut off from funding through the efforts of the central government to try and curtail speculation. So now the question is, what are they going to do to try and to get funding again. While SHIBOR rates have been coming down, they are trying to extend additional credit to the financial system, but they're going to have to extend an awful lot of it if the fact that there has been $450 billion of debt taken out by Chinese banks primarily and property developers over the course of the last 3 years. That is a measure of just how much demand for credit there is within the economy, and that might be a relatively small figure as a percentage of the Chinese economy, but in terms of actual dollar figures, that's still an awful lot of money for creditors to have extended to what might be considered high yield, but I think would most I think appropriately be considered the pejorative junk bond sector in China. Then, when we look at the banking sector, well, I think it is important to I think to consider that this index is representative of the very large banks. The smaller regional banks are not represented in this index. But it was in positive territory in here today, and it has come back down to test the low that we saw at the end of July. So this is still a potentially a support building area. But there is a wide overextension relative to the trend mean still evident here. So it really does need to push back above the trend mean. If it can do that, then I think we can say with some confidence that the worst might be over for the short term. The renminbi has started to stabilize again, but again not in a particularly dynamic manner. If we just simply go back and look at the kinds of dynamic moves that the renminbi is capable of, well, then back around the last time it was testing this 7 level, then we had consecutive days on the downside. And there was very clear larger downward dynamics than upward dynamics within the trading range. Whereas on this occasion, what we have seen are very large upward dynamics. And we give the benefit of the doubt to the most recent dynamic move, and then the internal dynamics of the trend are very much on the upside here for the dollar. So it does have some work to do here, and we would really need to see some substantial moves by the People's Bank of China to support the currency, and there has been absolutely no sign of that yet. It is in China's interest to have a weaker currency in here. And I suspect that that is definitely going to be going to factor in any negotiations that go on with the USA. Well, gold prices were a little bit steadier in here today, but that's most particularly because they were down in weaker in substantially weaker territory in early trading, so they've unwound all of the intraday decline. And there is a deep oversold condition evident relative to the trend mean, and most particularly because the price has now dropped below $1,200. I think it is no longer it's no longer correct to say that we've got a rounding characteristic here because of the extent to which the price has fallen over the last 4 months. But it's been down on consecutive months and weeks, so there is the potential that we do get a bounce in here. I was shaken out of my precious metal positions yesterday, and I really should have been selling them back in April, but I made the wrong decision and to simply make no decision after my mother's death, whereas I really should have just sold everything. But you know, that's a lesson learned. That's despite the fact that the dollar has been rallying and has been really very consistent on the upside. It was a little bit weaker in here today, but again, not in a particularly dynamic manner. There are significant tailwinds for the dollar in here right now, not least because of interest rate differentials, but also because of the quantity of dollar outstanding debt. Well, everyone's been looking at the Turkish lira, and that climactic action that we had on Friday has given way to a rally over the course of the last 4 days. It has now unwound a good share of the overextension, and I think now is the question whether anything has really changed. And well, the answer is not particularly. They've got a bridging loan from Qatar, but there is still a substantial amount of outstanding debt, and Qatar does not have deep enough pockets to bail out Turkey. It is also worth highlighting, though, that despite the quantity of debt, Turkey is a rather large economy. It's in the top 20 internationally, so therefore there are financial resources within the country and the potential for economic output to manage the debt if there were the correct kinds of policies that were implemented. Unfortunately, under Erdogan, there doesn't seem to be a great deal of appetite for that, and that's likely to contribute to additional volatility in the currency. I think it really does help to ram home the point that governance really is everything. And despite the fact that the vast majority of Europe was in positive territory in here today, well, the Italian index was not, and in fact, it was extending its decline. So this is looking increasingly likely that it has encountered resistance at the upper side of this decade-long range, and now that the balance of probabilities is that we're going to see additional downside, and a sustained move above the trend mean would be required to question that conclusion. Well, Atlantia has obviously had an impact on the Italian market in here today, and the collapse of the bridge outside Genoa is obviously weighing on the outlook for the share. One point that is worth highlighting is that the pace of dividend growth has really picked up since 2015, and it's currently yielding 6 2/3%. Well, there is the threat that the Italian government is going to try and intervene and take away some of its licenses, and considering the populist nature of the government, that's not a trivial threat. But certainly for a yield-hungry investor, this is probably something that's worth keeping an eye on, because that yield has been rather, I think, steady over the course of the last decade, with impressive dividend growth. But when we look at the banking sector in Italy, then UniCredito, which has been deteriorating now for much of this year, was in additional negative territory in here today again. So it's not simply that Atlantia is doing worse, but rather that there are big questions about the Italian economy. When they have elected a populist government, we simply don't know in which way they're going to break. But the BTP yield has first step above the base characteristics, and it really does look quite different to all the other bond yields in the Eurozone. Meanwhile, when we look at what's going on in Germany, then Bund yields are back to 30 basis points, and they have pulled back from that area in here somewhat today, but when we look at this on a weekly basis, there is ample evidence here that there's plenty of demand for bonds, and the yield has been trending lower now for most of this year, and it found support again in the region of the trend mean just a couple of weeks ago. So this continues to look like a demand-dominated environment for German bunds, and I think that's one of the primary reasons why the euro has not rallied in a more dynamic manner. Europe has got some substantial challengers in front of it, not least because of exposure to Turkey, but also exposure to Italy, and the fact that there are just simply big questions around the whole integration process. And this is not an endeavor that is going to be solved overnight. So I think that is one of the greater challenges that Europe has. One of the interesting charts that I think is worth looking at on a long-term basis is the Europe Stoxx Index, the Europe 600. So it's been ranging below 400 since 2000. So that's an 18-year range so far. And on each occasion it's got up to this level, it has failed. And it's been ranging below this level now for the last 18 months, and it really does need to sustain a move back above 400 to confirm a return to demand dominance. Now, when we think about all the other indices that have been going sideways for such a long period of time, well, we could look at, for example, Taiwan, which had a meaningfully lengthy range from 1997 all the way through until 2017, below 10,000, and then it broke out. Well, I think everyone is very familiar with the lengthy range we had on the S&P, which was concluded in 2013, and it continues to, well, it isn't far off double that level of the breakout at the present time. Well, the NASDAQ has also broken out to new all-time highs, and the FTSE 100 did the same thing. So there are not really that many indices that have got all the way back up to the upper side of these very lengthy ranges and failed. And Europe has been consolidating now for a year and a half below that key 400 breakout level. Now, the big question is whether it is going to be able to break out. I think one of the more important points is that despite the weakness of the pound and the euro, the index has been deteriorating. So it is not benefiting from nominal price appreciation. That really is a measure of the challenges that we have for this market. Because if we were to then simply look at this on a currency adjusted basis, the fact that it has been ranging below 400 for all that time really does not give us the full picture. And it is deteriorating. If we look at the consistency of the trend since 2009, well, we have had some impressive rallies which have been followed by some really quite swinging pullbacks, and it failed to sustain the move up to new highs in January, and now it is extending its decline. So this would suggest that when we think about the outlook for the index to be able to sustain the move above 400, that we could be waiting for a while. And it is the weakness of the euro has preserved the index at these nominal price levels. So that really is a testament to just how big the challenges are outstanding for Europe generally. Now, when we look at what's going on in India, the Indian market is largely subject to what is going on with the rupee. And the rupee was a little bit steadier off its lows in here today, but it was still in negative territory. The RBI is likely to raise interest rates twice, but that may not quite be enough to stabilize the currency. And the currency is trading at new all-time lows. And considering the fact that it has been ranging for the last almost 5 years, there is potential here that a range is an explosion waiting to happen, and that the rupee could weaken further from here. So that is the risk when we look at these Indian stock market indices. Now, the Nifty has paused around 11,500, but it is the outperformance of Reliance Industries that is really helping to set the pace for the Indian market. It is getting into, well, it already dominates 4G, and one of the clear outlets for 4G and online shopping via mobile would be for an Amazon-type company, and online sales are certainly something that Reliance Industries is looking to get into, and I think that is one of the factors behind the price breaking out in such a dynamic manner over the last 4 weeks. It's going to have some competition from Amazon and Walmart, and indeed Tencent, but it's also likely to benefit from home market advantage, just in terms of the regulations it gets from the Indian government. And the Tencent was off its low in here today, but still down on the day, and it is oversold in the short term. And part of the reason why it is accelerating down like this is because the Chinese government has banned new games being released. That's a headwind for just about all of the gaming sector. So that is something that is getting to the core of Tencent's profitability. Well, that's had a knock-on effect for some of the other big Chinese tech companies, and Baidu was off its low in here today, and it has been down on consecutive weeks, so this is the lower side of the range. It really does need to find support at this area. And Alibaba is also right at the lower side of its range, and it did bounce in here today. So there is potential here that it could hold the lower side of its range, but it really does need to follow through on the upside next week to really begin to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. So there is still a rather, I think, volatile environment that we have, certainly among the emerging markets, but we have, I think, what we might consider green shoots in terms of sentiment that things in terms of trade war rhetoric may improve at least over the short term, and that is likely to lend a tailwind to Wall Street in particular. But it is worth keeping an eye on the emerging markets because there are a substantial number of them that are really quite oversold, and I think that's where we have some potential trading opportunities. But the big question is going to be about the currencies. It's when international investors get currency market and capital market appreciation is when they really jump in with enthusiasm, and we just don't have the evidence just yet that the dollar has stopped rallying against these currencies. When that happens, I think that's when we'll have the very clear bullish catalyst for the emerging markets. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.